Welcome to the Life Notes Podcast, where we explore God and grace in our everyday lives. This is the sixth in the series of Life Notes titled A Contemplative Life. This episode is Our Ego versus Our Essence, Part 2. The Gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who want to lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life?" Last week I began contrasting two aspects of every self, the ego and the essence. Our ego is also referred to as our false self or small self, indicating something less than whole. Our essence is also called our true self or non-dual self, indicating something in its wholeness. In contrasting our ego and our essence, I describe two extremes of a vertical continuum that extends infinitely in either direction, although the essence is inclusive of the entire spectrum. As human beings, we are incapable of manifesting either pure ego or pure essence. Rather, we manifest varying degrees of each. In addition, we may act more from our ego in certain circumstances and more from our essence in others. I only characterize the two as separate in order to describe the ends. In reality, they only vary by degrees. Our ego manifests a part of our essence. Our essence includes but transcends the ego. Our true self is the developmental direction towards which the Spirit invites and encourages us. Our false self resists the urgings of the Spirit, mostly for fear of losing or tarnishing what it mistakenly perceives to be its unique nature. At the heart of our dilemma is that the world seems to confirm and support the partial truths our ego tells, that the life our senses detect is all there is, that we must live for ourselves and accumulate as much material wealth as we can with the limited time we have on earth. The common wisdom of our world tells us to deny the weaker parts of ourselves, hide our vulnerabilities, and put on a good face for those around us. Ultimately, our ego leads us into a lifestyle that is not true to who we are. The person we pretend to be cannot exist in any sustainable way. This dilemma is a problem that is exclusive to humans. Plants and trees make no discernible effort to be something they are not. The same is true for rocks, streams, and clouds. Animals do not make false pretenses about who they are. In his book, Falling Upward, Richard Rohr identifies two halves of our lives. Our egoic or false self dominates the first half as we strive to build a name for ourselves, establish a profession, start a family, or otherwise enter adulthood. As we age, we realize there is something missing in the self-image that has carried us to that point in life. This is when our true self may begin to assert itself, and the ego's influence over us begins to lessen. As we did in infancy, we identify with our support system, although now we recognize God, working through those around us, as our ultimate support system. We celebrate our interconnectedness and recognize that we build ourselves up by building others up, not by tearing them down. We understand in our deepest being that salvation is communal, not individual, that we are all in this together. We strive to be increasingly genuine and true to who God created us to become. When Jesus talks about losing one's life for his sake, he is referring to releasing our ego's hold over the direction of our life. It can feel like dying. Indeed, it is a death. We need to allow that small, selfish, and insecure part of ourselves to diminish in order to make room for our true self to grow. Our essence was never born, nor will it ever die. It is our eternal self. It is where our perfectly unique expression of God resides. Getting in touch with this aspect of our being is especially important as we approach physical death, as our true self is what will survive our passage out of material existence. Contemplative practices help us awaken to our essence. Such practices also assist in seeing the essence in others, even when it is invisible to them. God in us sees and affirms God in others. Namaste. This is true love and is a prerequisite to achieving equanimity within, not to mention peace on earth. You have been listening to the Life Notes Podcast. I invite you to my website, contemplatinggrace.com, where you will find books, music, and archives of my Life Notes and podcasts. Until next time, this is Greg Hildenbrand, wishing you peace and every good.